Hebrews, the 6th chapter. I'd like to read a couple of verses here if the Lord would help us. Hebrews is a very unique book in the New Testament. It's probably, theologically, it's probably one of the most difficult books of the New Testament in some ways to grasp, to fully comprehend. And I'll be honest with you, there's some things in Hebrews that he talks about that we don't fully understand. There's some great truths that God has blessed us with by giving us this book of Hebrews. It's one of those New Testament books. Matter of fact, I think it's probably the only New Testament book that I can think of right offhand that doesn't just absolutely declare an author. It's assumed by most that the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews. That's the common assumption. That's all it is an assumption. It can't be verified. There's some things about this letter that's kind of different than any of the other epistles he wrote. Some ascribe it to Apollos, possibly as the author. We don't really know who the author was because the author is never mentioned. But we do know it is divinely given. And we don't know who the human penman was, but we do know the true author was the Holy Ghost. Because all Scripture was given the inspiration of God. So it's a tremendous book. And we want to look at just a few verses here, if the Lord would help us a little while this morning. And I just trust God would revive our souls. Amen. Chapter 6, verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And Father, I thank you for mercy and grace. I thank you for what we have felt right in this house this morning, your presence. And I pray, God, that you would add your blessing now to the reading of your word. God, that you would strengthen us here this morning, anoint us, God, to be able to speak the words, God, that you would have us to say. And God, that you would unction us, God, in that way that would make a difference, Lord, that it would not be just mere words falling on ears, God, but it would be the piercing, eternal, hot, burning words of the Holy Ghost, God, that pierces even the soul of every hearer, God. I ask it, God, in the name of Jesus, grant these things to be so. We give you praise and honor and glory, knowing you're worthy. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. Here in chapter 6, verse number 3, these words here the apostle wrote, he said, "And this will we do." And if the Lord would help us a little while, I want to preach on that simply. This will we do. And if you back up to the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews here, and again, there's a lot of things written there that we don't, throughout the Hebrews, that I don't fully understand. If you do, amen, you're ahead of me. Amen. But in the 5th chapter, he talks about the exalted Christ. He really does. He lifts up Christ. Amen. Christ having ministry, as it were, of Melchizedek. Amen. Melchizedek didn't have beginning. Nobody knows. I'm telling you, he said he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He lifts him up. Amen. You realize this morning that we'll never exalt Christ too high. God himself has exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. And men of this earth will never exalt him too high. Amen. I'll be honest with you, we ought to spend a lot of time in exalting the name of Jesus, lifting up the name of Jesus. I mean, churchmen many times spend a lot of time discussing a lot of issues, doctrinal issues, church issues, and a lot of people can get bogged down in a lot of things. Amen. But we ought to spend a whole lot of time just lifting up the name of Jesus. Oh, there's something, amen, that God honors about the lifting up of the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on here. Amen. I believe even in preaching, amen, it's good for men to preach and lift up the name of Jesus. Several years ago, I was preaching for an old pastor up in the state of Ohio, right out of Dayton, Ohio. And he told me, I preached that night on the scars of Jesus, amen, talking about the suffering. And he told me that night, and I never forgot the words of that old pastor. He said, he looked at me as I started out that night, and he said, you never go wrong preaching about Jesus. Amen. I thought about that so many times through the years. Amen. Jesus said himself in John's gospel, he said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Amen. I realize this morning, I understand he was speaking specifically about the cross, the death of the cross. I understand that, but I believe there's a greater meaning even can be added to that. Amen. In lifting him up, just lifting him up before men, lifting up his name, worshiping him, praising him. And he said, if he's lifted up, he'll draw men to me. I've been in a lot of services over the last 36 years, amen, that we've been in the house of God, about 35 years of preaching, been in a lot of services, been in a lot of revivals, been in a lot of camp meetings, amen, I've seen it. I've been in meetings, amen, where the preaching of wholeness got so tight, amen, people almost squirmed in the pew. I mean, good people almost, amen, squirming, come on here now. But there's always something, amen, that's just exciting about lifting up the name of Jesus. Listen, that's not liberalism. Come on, help me here. That's not liberalism, amen. That's just what God wants. He wants the name of Jesus to be lifted up. I want to do it more than I've ever done it before. Amen. I want to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. But when we get to this sixth chapter, amen, he's talking to us here, and there's some very important things throughout this sixth chapter. We're not going to get into everything here, but I'm going to look at a couple things. First of all, he talks about the foundational doctrines of the church. Amen. There's got to be a foundation. Amen. This foundation that he's talking about here, amen, just the doctrines of repentance, the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And these doctrines make up some of the doctrines, the very foundational doctrines of the church. And I'm telling you this morning, it doesn't matter how high people think they get. It doesn't matter how lofty people feel like they are. You can't get away from that. You can't get away from that foundation. Amen. The psalmist declares, he said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Amen. I tell you, one of the greatest problems of our day, too many have got too far away from the foundation. Listen, you go out to build something this morning. Amen. When you're building, you want to stay on the foundation. It doesn't matter what you're building. It doesn't matter if you're laying brick, you're laying block. Amen. It doesn't matter what kind of material. You want to stay on the foundation. Because your building, say here, your building will never be any better, amen, than the foundation that it's placed upon. Amen. And I'm telling you, your Christian experience, it'll never get any better. It'll never be any stronger than the foundation it's laid on. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe in studying the Word of God. I believe we ought to. But don't ever get so high, man, and lofty in your head and think you're so smart that you can get away from these foundational principles of the Word of God. Because when all said and done, it still comes right back to repentance, faith, praying for one another, laying on our hands. Amen. It comes right back, amen, to eternal judgment and the resurrection of the dead. It gets right back to that every time. You can't get or you can't stray from the foundation. Amen. But he talks about the foundation, and as he makes the declaration here, we're not going to get away from that. That's one of the things he said. We're not going to get away from the foundation. But while we think about the foundation, and I want to be rooted, grounded on the foundation, I want to be firm on the foundation. That old hymn writer said, our firm foundation. I mean, we got a foundation, thank God. I said, we've got a foundation. Amen. But then he talks about something else here. And that is the need to go on unto perfection. Amen. Now, perfection, I believe our concept of perfection And what God is trying to impress upon us and tell us here is probably two different things. Perfection in human mind, human terminology, is something that's just absolutely can't be improved upon. I don't know of anything on this earth that can't be improved upon. I don't know of anybody on this earth that can't be improved upon. But, you say, preacher, you talking about me? Absolutely. Huh? But I'm talking about me too. Huh? I don't know of anybody that can't be improved upon. And I'll be honest with you, if anybody would say, I've reached a place I can't be improved upon. Amen. I just say, well, I don't believe you. Huh? I don't believe that. Amen. But what he's talking about here, amen, is going on. Amen. And to perfection, and that word perfection there, the meaning of it is, amen, to go on to completeness, to grow in a mental and moral character, to become a full age. Listen, I'm a grown man, but I'm still striving for perfection. Come on here now. Amen. It is completeness. That's what he's talking about. Amen. We've got started, but now we've got to go on. Amen. And let God do something in us. Amen. The book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul writing. Amen. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. So there's two things he's really talking about here. Amen. He's talking about the need of the foundation. You can't get off the foundation. But you can't just lay on the foundation. We've got to work on the foundation. We've got to labor on the foundation. And we've got to build on the foundation. And as we do, we're trying to go on unto perfection. Amen. A few years ago, amen, it's been probably several years ago now, I remember I went to have my eyes examined, and just a checkup. And as I was having my eye exam, they asked me a question, and I don't know why they asked me that during the exam. They said, do you ever see floaters in your eyes? Do you ever see that? Anybody ever see anything like that? Thank you. I feel better already. I thought everybody did. I thought it was common. Amen. I don't see them all the time, but I still now, every now and then, I just close my eyes and I see little black dot or something, just kind of scratchy mark or whatever, just kind of floating around. And so I said, yeah, sometimes, yeah, I see floaters. And when I said that, they become very concerned. They started doing in-depth examinations. They dilated my eyes, and they began to search and look. And what they were looking for is to make sure my eyeball was not detaching from the backside, just coming loose. And that's one of the signs, one of the things, the floaters. And they were very concerned about that. And I thought about it as I was looking at this text. You realize we're not in heaven yet. We're not. I want to preach if God helped me here this morning. I really do. We're not in heaven yet, folks. Amen. But thank God we're on the way. And I'm liking the journey. Thank God we're on the way. But we're not there yet. And as we continue this journey, there is a great danger, amen, that we have after being saved. And that is, after a while, amen, if we're not careful, we'll become floaters. And what I mean by that, amen, by floaters, amen, we're not really on the foundation as firm as we ought to be. And not only are we not as firmly grounded on the foundation as we ought to be, we're showing no signs, no desire to go any further. We become floaters. Come on here now. We just float in here and we float out of here. We float in Sunday morning. We float in Sunday night. We float back in here maybe midweek service. And we become floaters. Amen. When I was in that doctor's office, they become concerned. Amen. Because they realized, amen, that being, amen, that them floaters could mean something was seriously wrong. And I'll tell you something this morning as a pastor. Amen. When I see you floating in and out, And I see you not standing firm on the foundation. Come on, help me preach to you this morning. I'm not here, amen, to preach to the First Baptist Church. I'm not here to preach to the Church of God this morning. I'm not here to preach to the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church. I'm here this morning because you wanted me to be your pastor. I'm here this morning to preach to you. Help me do it this morning. Would you help me preach to you a little while? Amen. I want to give to you the burden God gave to me this morning, early this morning. Amen. I want to help us in this house of God. When I see you just floating in and out, come on here. You're not firm on the foundation, and you're showing no signs of hunger. You're showing no signs of thirst, and then no desire to go any further. I'm telling you, this pastor's concerned. I said, I get concerned because I understand that spiritually something may very well be deadly wrong. There may be a very serious problem going on, and it needs to be rectified. Floaters. Floating. That is one of the most dangerous things that can happen to us after we're saved. Now, if you continue reading in this sixth chapter, he begins to deal with a very controversial subject, and I think controversial because a lot of people don't understand what he's saying. He starts talking about here, amen, those that, amen, he said, and this will do if God permit. Verse 4, he said, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, many people have interpreted that to mean that once you get saved, if you were to ever backslide, you can't ever get saved again. That is not what he's talking about. Amen. For how many understand this morning that the Apostle Peter failed God? Yes, he did. He backslid. He failed. Amen. But by the grace of God, he came back. For Jesus, amen, told him, amen, he said, Simon, Simon, he said, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. And he said, after thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Amen. What you mean after I'm converted? Amen. He was saved then. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And I tell you something else, Judas was too. Huh? But Peter failed. But thank God Peter got back. Amen. But I want you to understand, amen, as he's talking about, amen, this condition, amen, right here, this danger, amen, of floating, amen, just floating. There's a danger there because what happens is, amen, and it's not by accident that the following verses deal with this. Amen. Because, amen, what he's talking about here is not just somebody that has become overwhelmed, amen, with the pressures of life and the troubles of life and the cares of life. Amen. And just get overwhelmed and just give up. Amen. And then feel like they're fighting against something they can't conquer. Come on here. That ain't what he's talking about. Amen. He's talking about these people that just become floaters. Say amen. They just become floaters. Amen. Amen. And they slowly fall headlong into apostasy. Amen. They quit having church and they start playing church. They quit praying and they start playing. They leave the fasting room and they get to the feasting room. And it's, forget the fasting, it's all about feasting. Amen. Forget the praying, it's all about playing. That's why even this Sunday morning, church groups all over this nation are at the play games of the world. Come on here. I wonder how many, I don't know, is it Super Bowl Sunday? I've heard them talking about on the news, some of that. So I don't know if it is or will be whenever it's coming. Amen. But it's sad. There'll be a lot of churches probably called their services off. I'm telling them a lot of people playing. I said there's a lot of people playing. And a lot of people without intending to, without meaning to. Amen. They are slowly becoming floaters. Amen. And I'm telling them this is a dangerous place because, amen, when they get in that place, it is a place of deception. Because when you get there, you think you're still saved. When in reality, you've left the foundation. You've lost your hunger. You've lost your thirst. You've lost your desire for God. The only reason you're still in this is to try try to stay out of hell. Come on here. And I'm here to tell you this Sunday morning, amen, that ain't enough. I'm going to preach this morning because you might not be back tonight. Huh? The only thing that's holding you in now is because you don't want to go to hell. Amen. Well, I want to tell you this morning, amen, you don't have to go to hell from a bar stool. And you don't have to go to hell with a needle hung in your arm. Amen. You sit right on that comfortable padded pew. Amen. Come on here now. You sit right on that comfortable padded pew and become a floater. Amen. Get in your mind some, concoct in your mind some idea that I'm as good off as I've ever been. Amen. I don't need to do a thing. I can just sit here. I can coast this thing out and I'm going to get to heaven. Amen. Because I've been here 20 years or I've been here 5 years because I wrote a good tithe check or whatever. I'm trying to tell you this morning, this is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to talk to us about here. Amen. There's a danger of falling in that error. Amen. Or place of deception. And thinking that we're still saved when in reality we're not. Thinking, amen, that we're in the will of God when in reality we're not. Amen. The Bible said of Samson, amen, that he rose up and shook himself and wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. I know, amen. I know this morning, amen, that it's a common idea, a common conception that people know when they backslid. People know when they've missed out. But I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people that have missed out and they don't even know it. One of the strongest spirits of our day is the spirit of deception. Amen. The Bible even talks about God will give them strong delusion. They believe a lie and be damned. Amen. That's what this writer is trying to talk to us about here. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. We cannot allow ourselves to become floaters. Now, you ain't got to shout right here, raise your hand, but I know what it is to be a floater. You might as well shake your head anyhow, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Come on here now. Don't look at me so strange. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, you do. Amen. Come on here now. You try to hide something, I go talk to people that know you good. Amen. Dig up some information. Amen. But I'd say all of us know what it is. Just kind of, we float in. Huh? And we float out. And we float back in. Huh? And we float back out. We leave. Amen. What the preacher preach? Huh? What they sing? Huh? Amen. Come on here now. I mean, you sit there and you're balancing your checkbook. You're thinking about tomorrow. It ain't got here. It might not get here. You're thinking about what you're going to do on the job this coming week. Hey, man, I mean, you think about a million different things. I'm trying to tell you. Hey, man, we've got a generation of people in the Pentecostal church world that have become floaters. They used to come in and worship. They used to come in and praise God. They used to come in and pray. They used to come in and seek God. You used to get an amen out of some of them. And now they've just become floaters. Hurry, preacher, get it over with. Amen. Want to get to the restroom? Hurry, preacher, McDonald's is going to close. Hurry, preacher, I got to go. Got friends waiting on me. I'm trying to tell you this morning, it's a danger to become a floater. Just floating. Amen. And fall in to deception, thinking I'm all right. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. As a pastor, I've talked with people. Now, don't you understand what I'm saying here? I've talked with people that were just honestly backslid. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. That were just backslid. And I've had them look at me and tell me, without batting an eye, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And this is what he's talking about here. Now, it's one thing to be a backslider. Because a person becomes overwhelmed with troubles and situations, and they feel like they can't conquer. They can't win. And sometimes in despair. Listen, they're not happy about it. Sometimes in despair, they just ain't no use trying no more. Amen. And I'm telling them people can get back on the rock. But when people get deceived in their mind, that's what he's talking about here. It's not somebody that's just backslid. It's people that's fallen into apostasy. Amen. And they get to play in the church game. Amen. They're playing this game and the church game. Amen. They're playing both games, and they're tied up with the world, and they're tied up with the church. Amen. They fall into apostasy. He said to renew them again, it's impossible. And here's the reason why. Amen. It ain't just sin you're dealing with, it's a spirit. It is a spirit of deception. And what he's telling us here, and he's warning us, you can't get loose from that. You can't shake that thing loose once it gets a hold of you. You hear me now? Amen. That's what he's telling us. You can't shake it loose, because he said, amen, for them to come back, it's impossible for them to be renewed. You can't, listen, they fall into apostasy. They ain't never coming back. Amen. They're deceived. Amen. Their mind's deluded. Why aren't they coming back? Because in their mind, they don't think they've ever left. They don't think they've ever gone nowhere. They think they're just as well off, as good as they've ever been. Hear me tonight. Heard this morning, amen. Floaters. I don't want to be a floater in the house of God. Amen. Oh God. One of the shames of their behavior is that they lie. Boy, I'm just getting bold this morning. They lie and say they still belong to Christ. The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2:19, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You're going to name His name, you live right. You're going to name His name, you walk right. You're going to name His name, you spit white. And then don't you go naming His name and running off hand in hand with the world. And then come on here, and then jumping off the foundation. You're not standing on the rock, you're not on the foundation. You've lost. You've lost your hunger. You've lost your desire. Amen. You've lost your earnestness for God. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing. And He's warning us against that. But that's not the thrust of what I want to preach here. What I want to preach is that text where He said there in verse 3, this will we do if God permit. I'm telling you, I'm determined by the grace of God, whatever time is left, and I don't know what time that is, I'm determined to stay on the foundation. Come on, help me preach a little while. I'm determined to stay on the foundation. I'm telling you, the doctrine of repentance, amen, better not get old to us, because it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter how high up the ladder we've climbed. We're going to still find times, amen, when we need to just cry out to God in repentance. One of the things that would bring revival, amen, to a lot of our holiness churches, amen, is repentance. Repentance. Amen. Listen, I don't have to repent this morning because I've got drunk, because I've smoked, because I've drank, I've drugged up. I ain't got to repent over that. Amen. But I'm telling you, I ain't got nothing to brag about when it comes to prayer and fasting. Oh, God. You say, I didn't think that was a sin. Yes, it is. Prayerlessness is a sin. Samuel, one of the most holy men of the Bible, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. God forbid I should sin against the Lord in failing to pray for you. He said, but I will teach you the good and the right way. And I'm not going to sin in failing to pray. Amen. Hear me now. Amen. I don't want to get away from the doctrine of faith. We got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I don't ever want to reach a place. I've been preaching, like I said, about 35 years. I don't ever want to reach a place that I don't feel like I don't need my brethren to pray for me. I don't ever now and then need them to lay their hands on me. Come on, pray for me. Come on here now. Pray for me. Yeah. I want to pray for people. I want to be in a place to be able to pray for people. But I'm telling you, I need prayer. Can you say amen? I said, I need prayer. I don't ever reach a place, amen, where, amen, I forget about the resurrection of the dead. I'm going to die. And when I do, I want to be resurrected. Come on here. Amen. And there is a judgment waiting us. I don't want to leave that. I want to keep them things in the forefront. Amen. But while we're standing on those foundations, God forbid we sat down and lay down. Amen. And just do nothing. Amen. I want to go on. I want to seek God.
And then what he's talking about there, this will we do if God permits. Brother Ray, he's talking about both of those things. We're not going to leave the foundations. We're not going to leave those doctrines, amen, that we've got to have. They're necessary to us that are saved, and they're necessary to the lost man. And no matter how saved you are, amen, I'm telling the lost man needs to hear about repentance. He needs to hear about the blood. He needs to hear about the cross. And I don't want to leave any of that. Amen, because after all these years, I need it too. It blesses me too. It strengthens me too. But while I'm leaning on that, I want to go home. I want God to create a hunger and a thirst in my heart and in my life, a desire to get more of God. This will we do if God permit. If God permit. And I'm here to tell you, God will permit it. God is permitting it. God has permitted it. Amen. And He is this very morning, amen, making this a possibility. Amen. To go on. Amen. Lest we be like others. Amen. The Apostle Peter. Amen. Trying to exhort us. Amen. He said, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Amen. He said, lest you be like some of them others. Amen. He tells us about those that once was here and they failed. I'm telling you this morning, I don't want that in my life. Amen. I want to go. I want to stand on the rock. Amen. And reach for the stars, as it were. Amen. Come on here. Amen. I want to stand on the solid rock. When I shout, amen, I want my shouting to be on the rock. So when I come down, there's a solid foundation under me. Amen. I believe in running. Amen. I've already done some of it this year. Amen. But when I do, I want to run. Amen. Where the rock is. And hear me. Amen. If I should stumble, if I should fall, I want to fall on the rock. I want to fall on the rock. Amen. At least I can get back up from there. Amen. But God, help us, church. Amen. Not just to lay around the rock. Help us, God. Give us a desire. Give us a hunger to go on with God. This will we do if God permit. I'm determined. This is a brand new year. Amen. I ain't going to be able to say that much longer. But right now, it's a brand new year. And I have purposed in my heart. Amen. Get closer to God to have revival. I mean that. I intend to have revival. Huh? I intend to have revival with you or without you. And I'm not being mean right here. Just as I mean that. I'll have revival with you. I shake my hand. Sure, everybody, we're not mad with each other. Huh? Brother Ray. I have revival with you, or I'm determined to have revival without you. Huh? Brother Jonathan, I'm going to have revival with you, or I'm going to have it without you. But I'm determined to have revival. What about you? What about you? This will we do. This will, can you say it with me? This will we do if God permit. Hey man, I want to have revival, but I don't want to have it by myself. Come on here. I don't want to have it by myself, but I'm going to have it if God will help me. Amen. But I want you to be it in too. Amen. I want us to say, we will. God permit. We will. This we will do. Thank God. Amen. I want us to see a move of God right here. I tell you what, I'd like to see him this year. I'd like to see some souls saved. I'd like to see some Jonathan and Ashley's come in here. Amen. And get to praying. That's what I'd like to see. Amen. I'd like to see some people that need God. I'd like to see some backsliders come home. I'd like to see some people. Amen. They're way out in sin. Amen. Draw nigh to the blood. Amen. And get saved. Get redeemed. Amen. And get filled up in their soul. And get ready for heaven. This will we do if God permits. Stand with me this morning. This will we do if God permit. We will remember the foundational doctrines. Number one. Number two. We will go on unto perfection. The hungriest people most of the time that we have are people that you can
can exhort to get hungry are usually the people that's already hungry. And listen, if I get a little bit hungry, you can come around me talking about the collards and black eyes with a little slice of onion. Huh? Hey man, mashed potatoes, cube steak. Huh? Come on now. And if I'm a little bit hungry, I go to getting hungrier. Huh? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Ain't that the way it works? But if I've just got up from the table and I'm full, you come tell me about steak, fried chicken, anything. I said, not right now. Not right now. I'm not interested right now. Huh? And that's kind of the way it is right here. Hey, man, if you're a little bit hungry, it ain't hard to get you hungry. But if you ain't hungry at all, it's a real task to get you hungry at all. This will we do. We're going to stay on the foundation, but we're going on to perfection. I wonder how many would join me this morning in these altars. God, if you'd help me, that's what I want this year. Lord, I want to get more firmly rooted and grounded on the foundation than I've ever been. But Lord God, while I'm pushing my roots down, Lord, and I'm trying to get established, God, would you give me the grace to reach up, to reach up, to reach out, to draw nigh to God, knowing, Lord, that you promised that you would draw nigh to us. God, help me, lest I become a floater in the house of God, lest I find myself floating in and floating out. Not on the foundation. No desire to get closer to God. Oh, my God, would you help us? Lord, the pastor said he's going to have revival. Lord, I want to have revival with the pastor.